Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to read beginning at the first verse and read through verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, He will go over before thee, and He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Zihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. The Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Amen. May God add His own blessing to this reading of His holy word for His name's sake. This evening I want to center our attention upon the promise of God that is found in verse 8, where the Lord says that He will go before, that He will be with, that He will not fail, that He will not forsake. Therefore, the response of the people of God is to not be dismayed. I'd like to speak to you on what I am calling a promise to walk through water with. A promise to walk through water with. But before we consider anything, let's turn our hearts to the Lord and ask Him to bless His word to our hearts. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee this day that Thou art our God, that Thou art the living and the true God, that the one that we have to do with our hearts by faith, is that one who can do after the counsel of His own will all things. Lord, we're thankful that Thou canst accomplish everything that enters into Thy heart to do. And Lord, that there is not anything that is too hard for Thee. Lord, as we would bring our hearts before Thee, Lord, we confess our hearts are too hard for us to deal with. But Lord, we believe that our hearts are not too hard for Thee, that our minds are too hard for us to put knowledge into, but it's not too hard for Thee. And Lord, it is too hard for us to believe on many things that Thou dost tell us are the sweet promises of God, but it is not too hard for Thee to fan the faith that Thou hast planted within us to that point where we can rejoice over those things that we find our God doing. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us tonight. We pray that Thou wilt cause Thy word to be sweet to us. We would pray, O God, that Thou wouldst encourage us Thyself. Lord, to bless us, to close us in with Thyself now, let us know the meeting of God with our hearts. Lord, exalt the Lord Jesus also is our cry. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. As you perhaps may have guessed by our title, the segment of Scripture that we deal with tonight refers to that time and that place where the children of Israel come to look across the Canaan River. Canaan River, Jordan River, to Canaan. You knew what I was saying. And their minds and their hearts are filled with this thought. Indeed, what lies for us on the other side? What do we face? What will we know when we come to that time when we actually step across and into that place? Perhaps you will remember that as the Lord said, it's time now to go across, that the priests lifted the Ark of the Covenant, and when their feet came to the brink of the river and they partook that first step in, that the waters parted and that the people of God were able to go through that natural barrier on dry ground. They went through the water on dry ground. In other words, they didn't get wet. You know, sometimes when we look at those things that the Lord would place before us, we'd have to say, this to me is a river. I am looking at an obstacle. I am looking at something that is certainly great indeed. And it is to me as the Jordan River was to those people. I believe that there is a promise, that there is a place of rest, that there is a place of blessing for me just beyond. But the Lord has me up against this river. Oh, child of God, understand. The Lord gave these people a promise, and with the promise came the power of God, and they went through and did not get their feet wet. There is a possibility of us being able to go on with our God, to do those things that our God places before us, and to see things, as it were, so work before us that we too can go through Jordan rivers and not get our feet wet. There are times when we feel like, indeed, we shall surely succumb to all those things that are facing us, but it is possible for us to go forward and know the joy and hope that comes with the promise of God. And I say the promise that the Lord gives to these people is not a promise that is exclusive to them. It's not just a promise that was only for a day and that alone. The encouragement that was given to Joshua, we certainly would have to say, is not one that was just for himself alone, because I think if you would, you could almost put a star beside that verse where Moses speaks to Joshua and says, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people across. You could almost say, indeed, there's the picture of the greater Joshua. He must go with his people. He surely will go with his people across. The Lord will be with thee when thou goest into the land. Tonight I want us to consider this promise. I don't want to consider so much the crossing. I don't want to consider the obstacles. I don't want to consider the Canaanites nor the things that were in the land. All I want to do really is look at the promise and those that it concerns. The first thing I want us to consider this evening is, what is the promise? When the Lord offers these words of verse 8, and certainly you'd have to see it, and we all would see, that here the Lord is telling you what He intends to do. This is the mind of God. This is what you can bank on. This is what you will find from the hand of your God. This is a promise. We'd have to ask, what is that promise? Well, I think the promise is not what it may seem that a weary people might want to hear right as they were on the border of entering a new land. Perhaps that which their souls longed to hear was that the Lord would do some extraordinary work so that the people of the land would be thrown out and they would simply be able to enter the land to sit down and rest. We are not so much unlike this. We would prefer to have the Lord just do in all our ways, and we would be able to have a peaceful time. Lord, just undertake. Lord, come and do the miraculous. Lord, you come and you work so that we don't have to face these great obstacles. The Lord didn't promise them that He was going to remove the obstacles by His own hand only. No, they were a people that would have to go in and face. The problem is that we would not do as we imagine. Sometimes we feel like if the Lord would simply remove all the obstacles, we would just have an easy time. Oh, how untrue that is. I think how difficult our time would become if we were just left to have the ease. The Lord warns the people. We are memorizing that segment in Deuteronomy 6, where the Lord warns the people against themselves in that day when they see His power. He tells them plainly, you are a people that will be prone to be taken up with all the good things that are around you. The wells that you didn't dig, and the houses that you didn't build, and the vineyards that you didn't plant, and all these things will suddenly be yours, and you will say, how wonderful is this? And you will soon forget the Lord your God. Well, the Lord could have wiped out all these that were ahead of them. He could have made it an easy thing for them to just go into the land, but He didn't do that, because He knew that because of their own hearts, they would be prone to forget the Lord. And so a point that I would present to you, a categorical truth that I would have you to understand, is that the Lord's promises are only to be enjoyed on the grounds of exercised faith. You can't enjoy God's promises unless you're exercising faith. The Lord doesn't make things otherwise. He doesn't make it so we can. And so I would say also there is never a promise to a child of God where he has any other option but to wholly trust the Lord and obey those instructions that He has given. The Lord means for us to trust. His promises are geared, if you will, so that we will be a people who trust. It wasn't necessarily what they perhaps wanted to see or hear. But I will say this about the promise. First, it was a promise that the presence of the Lord would be known, and how big of a thing that truly is. It was a promise that the presence of the Lord would be known. This may seem to be an aspect of the ridding of the land of the Canaanites that is a by the way. Oh, I'm telling you, I will be with you. You're going to go into the land. You're going to go through these waters. You're going to start fighting with the people of Jericho and of Ai and of all the Amorites and all those people that are over there. And by the way, I'll be with you. It would almost seem that that's the kind of statement that we have here. But I want you to understand that in reality, this is the heart of every blessing. Understand, child of God, the biggest part of all the blessings of God is that our God's presence is in them, that He is with us. And when I know that my God is at my right hand, I am truly able to step out and to do what sense tells me will end up in a disaster. When I look at all those things that I would do, my common sense oftentimes tells me, listen, if you do this thing, you are going to find yourself on your face. This is not going to work out. This is going to be a complete failure. The people of Israel in that day were a people that faced incredible odds. But the great blessing of this promise, the promise that you will discern that I am right here, made all the difference. Oh, for such a day again. When we as the people of God can look at our right hand, as it were, and say, we are discerning the presence of God. What a blessing that would be. I say it was such a promise. It was also a promise that the presence of the Lord will be a sustaining and a strengthening force on our hearts. It may well be that the hearts of the Israelites as they faced westward over Jordan was, how can we begin to do this? The stakes are so great. We face an end that is possibly our undoing. How can we possibly go forth? How will we have the strength? How will we be sustained? Well, we might even ask you tonight, do you face what all indicators say is too much for you to withstand? What does your soul need to hear? What does your mind and heart need to have brought to it? My God is right here. My God is with me. I say that is the substance of our strength. Well, we might ask ourselves, well, how can we know that our God is with us? How can He be with us? Well, He can be with us because He has dealt with us and dealt with that which stands against us, our sins, our old hearts. We have been delivered from the land of death and have gone through the sea. That is the picture indeed of one who is saved by grace. He is with us because there is now no reason for Him not to be with us. Oh, I say, what a sweet thought that is. My God will be with me even these times when everything says, this is a disaster waiting to happen. But I say also, it is a promise that the power of God will ensure our seeing all that the Lord has caused us to hope upon. What has the Lord held before the people of Israel? In fact, we might even put it to ourselves. What has the Lord held before us? A land of sweetness? You know, sometimes we think that this is a myth. Can you imagine the people of Israel as they've been wandering around in a wilderness for 40 years? They've known nothing but sand and dirt and rock and thirst and hunger for things other than manna. They have known times when the heat has borne down upon them. They have lived in the desert. And now for somebody to tell them, you know what Canaan is? Let me tell you what Canaan is. You remember? Oh, you remember your grandfathers having brought back, you know, they're not with us today, nor anybody who's over 40 years old. They're not with us today. But let me tell you that it did happen. They brought back a stave carried on the shoulders with grapes so big that it took two men to carry the whole cluster. That's Canaan. Oh, are you kidding? There's no such place. There's no such sweet place. There is no such place of blessing. And you know what? Sometimes when we live in a dearth spiritually, we convince ourselves that there is no such place as the place of the blessing of God, where the presence of God is seen and the joy of the Lord is known. And we may conclude that there is no place of rest and blessing. It's all the stuff of sermons and good talk. But the Lord says concerning His promise that when you come to that place where I am with you, you will not fail to see all that I have caused you to hope upon. You will not fail to see the good things of Christ and the blessings of your God. I say that's the promise, the Lord's presence, and the Lord's presence doing its work. Well, we might ask the question, secondly, who makes such a promise? Who can make such a promise? And I will say, we will do well to remember that these words do not reflect a prayer or a petition to God. They are not what men desire to see from God. Rather, this promise, these words, what we have here is that which pours forth from the heart of God Himself. Now I see mercy in these words, I see grace in these words, I see the forbearance of God, I see the patience of God, I see the long-suffering heart of God made bare. Here you have mercy. And I have, when I was reading through this, the title, I know it doesn't apply necessarily here, but it just sort of swept over my mind. There's a wideness in God's mercy. There's just like, when God's mercy flows forth, it's like a river. Who makes such a promise? The God whose heart is like a river, flowing forth with all the good things that He would have His people to know. Who makes such a promise? Well, a couple of points I want you to see. Who makes such a promise? The one who is fully able to bring to pass the greatest of all victories. Well, we must learn that the Lord never offers a promise of hope to us that He is not intending to show as much power and then some so as to bring it to pass. When the Lord makes you a promise, He's not saying, well, maybe it'll happen if somehow everything lines up. Oh, our God never makes a promise where He doesn't have abundant power to make sure that it takes place. You may see the impossibilities of your case lined up against you as an army with banners. But let me say this, the Lord is not the least affected by such things. What men will say here is an absolute impossibility, to God is a complete irrelevance. Let me say that again. The impossible with God is a complete irrelevance. It does not factor into His promises in any way at all. It only factors in our minds It only plays upon our hearts. It only makes us miserable. Our God does not look at anything as being that which is impossible, because He is fully able to do all that His heart and mind desires to do. And He is the one that has made the promise here. It is not some weakling. It is not some man. It is not some organization. It is God that has made this promise. I will be with you, and I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. But also see this, the one who makes the promise is the one whose glory is tied directly to His faithful fulfillment of this promise. Oh, understand, child of God, the Lord will not allow His glory to fall to the ground. You can rest in the Savior's word. He will not fail thee. The Lord's glory is tied to His promises. Perhaps some of you have listened to that tape about the Isle of Lewis and the revival that took place there. And if you have, then what I'm telling you is old news. But perhaps you will remember, if those of you who have heard it, and if you haven't heard it, there was a point in that recounting of the revival where they took a testimony from a man who was in a city that was very hardened against the gospel. And they decided to have a prayer meeting all night long, that the Lord would allow the revival that had begun at other points on the Isle of Lewis to come to that town as well. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And the comment was that it was not easy going necessarily to pray. It was in fact a tough go. Until one man felt moved of the Spirit of God to bring it all to this point. And he said, Lord, do you realize that your honor is at stake? You have promised to pour water on him that is thirsty. Lord, I am thirsty. This town is thirsty. Lord, do you realize that your honor is at stake? And the comment was that upon that note, they swiftly concluded the prayer meeting. And the testimony of those that left the building there where they were having that prayer meeting is that when they went out, it was as if they saw the town ablaze with the glory of God. The Lord stepped in immediately, and within hours the pubs were closed. There were people seeking after the Lord. There was a mighty moving of God that came on the basis that God's honor was tied to His promise. And there was a man who was brave enough to come before the throne and to put that before God. This is what you have said. O child of God, understand that the one who offers us the promise here in the day when we face our impossibilities and we face our having to go over the Jordan, as it were, we find ourselves dealing with a God whose glory is tied to His promise. He cannot forsake, and He cannot deny Himself. Also, I would say this about this one who makes such a promise, that He is the one who will accomplish our good by going before us. So it says, the Lord doth go before thee. In other words, the Lord says that He will do a great preparing work in our cases where we need to see Him work, where we need to see Him go before us, in those places where we need to see the Lord go on ahead of us to deal with those things that He has brought providentially for us to face, those obstacles and those hard days. The Lord will go before us with a great preparing work so that we will be able to do what He puts in our hands to do. Joshua and the people were to go over on the other side of the Jordan, and they were to fight. The question that you would have to ask is, how in the world can that happen? They are not a military might. They're a band of refugees that have come out of Egypt and have wandered about the desert for 40 years. They are certainly no military strength. But perhaps you'll remember as you read through the book of Joshua how many times the Lord went before him, before Joshua, before the people, and discomfited the people of the land, made them to dread this band of refugees. You ever seen a band of refugees? My mind remembers, when I think of refugees, I think, it's just sort of a strange, I don't think of modern day. I think back in the 1950s, perhaps you can remember seeing newsreels of the countless thousands of refugees fleeing from North Korea to the south, going around those winding roads, pulling their little rickshaws and carrying their things on their back. And here they were coming, for some of them for hundreds of miles. In fact, if you want to hear a good story, yes, David Lee to tell you the story about his mom. His father had to flee from North Korea to the south, and his mom was left with two little ones to come down those roads to find her husband down in Seoul, South Korea. She was fleeing from the North Koreans and went, and I can't tell you the number of hundreds of miles she walked with two little ones. An amazing story of God's grace and keeping. But my mind is, here's the refugees, the whole host. Now, this whole host, you're going to all of a sudden say, okay, we are a military force. You say, how ridiculous is that? Well, that's the same thing as it was with Israel. It was an impossibility. But the Lord went before them so that the people of the land, these great kings, these mighty men, were at fear. They were completely beside themselves with fear. Now, I'm saying this, that the Lord oftentimes will go before you, child of God, and step into your situations and your problems and your Canaans, as it were, so that you may be able to do those things the Lord would put in your hands to do. He fights the majority of the battle. The battle is already there and done. In some cases, by the time you find yourself there, oh, forget not who goes before you. But also I would point this out, that this one who promises is our God. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God. I say this is a statement to bring to mind to these people that their God that has cared for them is the same God that's going to carry them onward. He is the one that brought them through that Red Sea and delivered them from the land of death. He's that one that has provided for them all these years. He is their Redeemer, and He will without fail bring them into Canaan land. God, our God, makes this promise. Thirdly and quickly, who receives such a promise? Who receives such a promise? Now may I take just a second to put my tongue in my cheek, please. Who receives such a promise? Is it the great and the mighty, whose advancement in the ways of God have left them among the valiant and the fulfilled? Is it that He gives this promise to those whose advancement in grace is such that now we see that there is never among these people a murmur nor a sigh? They have arrived. These are the great ones. You know, it would seem that we should preach that that's the case. Oh, do you want to know the Lord's promise of His help? Well, then you had better advance yourself along. You'd better catch yourself on to the things that you need to do. You need to find yourself well advanced. And then when you get to that point, certainly you can expect God to uphold His part. Is that who you see here? No, you see a people who, if you were going to characterize them, you would say would be just exactly of the opposite sort. What can we say about these to whom the promise was given? Well, first, I would point out to you that they were a people that must trust. They were a people that must trust. Where have they been brought? Well, they've been brought to the edge of a desert, now to the very border of an enemy. What have they got to go back to? What hopes have they of stepping forward into the land of Canaan? You ask all these things. These were a people who, by divine design, had been left with nothing but their God. They had nothing. They were out there. There was no way they could go forward. They certainly couldn't go backwards. They were a people who had to trust. They had no other options, really. Furthermore, in verse 1, Moses tells them that he will soon be taken from them and they will no longer have his leadership. And so we might say that these were a people whose sole answer to their dilemma and to their situation was that they were being faced squarely with the fact that they had to trust. You know, often the Lord leads us to such a place. Often the Lord allows His people to come to such a place where we find that we have no other place to turn. Some would call this poverty. Oh, how terrible it is that the Lord has allowed you to fall in such times where all you can do is trust. If truly you were better, if truly if you were stronger, truly if you were more knowledgeable, truly if you were more this or more that, the Lord wouldn't let you fall into such a poverty to have to learn to trust the Lord. But you'd find that the truth of the answer is how rich these people were. In fact, if we might even look at our own lives and think about those times where the Lord, by His mercy and His grace, forced us into those moments where we had to trust Him and could look nowhere else. When we look back at those times, we might say, that was perhaps the richest moments of my life. Those were the sweetest days that I ever knew, when the Lord forced me to lay aside every other hope but Himself. I say, that is a choice place. That is a place that many of those who followed after the Lord Jesus would admonish the church of God to seek for. When you read through Paul's writings, you can come to numerous places where he's admonishing us to lay aside all the other things for the hope that is set before us. Only the Lord. Let's all indeed, he says, look for that moment whereby faith may be exercised. They were a people who must trust. Further, they were a people with a divinely given job to do. They hadn't picked the job of having to go in to rout the Canaanites for themselves. You'd say they would have had to have been nuts to do that. When you compare the two peoples, you would have seen indeed that the Canaanites were a people who were well armed. They were a people who were well drilled in military things. These were a people who were in their fenced cities. Now, would Israel just out of the blue say, let's just for a lark choose to go in and see if we can undo these Canaanites? You say, how utterly ridiculous is that? But you know what? Sometimes the Lord does give us jobs, as it were. He does place in our hands tasks to do that you and I wouldn't choose. He puts upon us responsibilities and He brings us into a day of service or of some other time in which we'd have to say, I wouldn't want this to fall upon me for anything. It would be indeed, I would never have desired this in a million years. Some of you have known times like that. Some of you have known that the Lord has placed within your hands responsibilities and duties and things that you say, how in the world am I going to do this? It is just too great, and it looks like all the things that I have to go through in the midst of this are unpleasantries all around me. How is it that I can go on? You go on with the Lord. You go on with the Lord. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. When you're in those times when God has placed in your hand a job to do, and you just say, I can't. I don't have it. Those are the times when this promise indeed is in effect. And this is the time when we look to this promise. This is the time when, our opening title, this is a promise that you can go through water with. The Lord is with us. It is to a people who had a divinely given job. Third, I would point out that they were a people with a definite weakness that could not be hid. They were a people with a definite weakness that could not be hid. You know what? Israel could have marched as the great kingdoms of the world may have marched, and you'd have to say, well, how laughable would that have been? Here's Israel, this ragtag group coming out of Egypt, trying to march like the Assyrians, or like the Egyptians, or like the Babylonians. Yes, they're trying to present themselves as some great military might, and you say, oh, how ridiculous is that? No, the truth of the matter was that Israel's weakness was glaring. Israel's inability was something that could easily be seen. Their inabilities and their lack were not hidden. They couldn't conceal it, even from themselves. They couldn't conceal it. Oh, indeed. Does that ever sound like us? That here's my weakness, and Lord, I can't begin to hide it. Here's my weakness, and everybody in the world sees it. How then do I go on? I say, here is a promise for a people with glaring weaknesses. The Lord goes before you, and the Lord goes with you, and He will not fail nor forsake. I say, a promise for such a people. And then the last thought under this head is that they were a people who had been led before. Who received this promise? A people who had known the promises of God before. They had been led before. The Lord had led and given to them all along the way. And I think the Lord would have them to recount these things and to encourage themselves. Has the Lord led us hitherto? Are we able to raise to ourselves an Ebenezer as we come into this land? When we come to this place, are we able to erect our memorial to the Lord's having helped us? Oh, yes. But what was that Ebenezer to do? It was to remind them that the Lord would continue to be their help. Oh, I say, you and I have known the Lord's leading before. We've known the Lord's help. We've known the Lord's undertaking for us in many different ways. And we can look at those things and be encouraged that what we face here and what we can take with us as we look at this promise will be the continued help of the Lord. Oh, child of God, do not forget the Lord's previous leadings in your life. Do not forget how the Lord has helped you hitherto. For indeed, it is but a very testimony that He will continue to do for you as He promises here. Then, the last thing. What is the point of the promise? What is the point? And I only have one thought. And it comes from what the Lord tells us. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Here's the point. You're facing all kinds of different things. Things that are new things. Things that are great things. Things that are hard things. But there's no place for you to be fearful or to be dismayed. For this promise is meant to foster greater faith and to displace our dismay. Let us lean upon our God. We will find ourselves as those indeed who are upheld. We might ask in closing, are you like Israel? The answer? Of course you are! Yes! Are you like these weak people on the other side of Jordan? Yes, you are! Do you find the same problems within your own heart that they faced as they were on the east side of Jordan? Yes, you do! You're not unlike Israel. The very things that Israel was looking at, the things that they were worrying about, are things that you would find, if you would allow your mind to make the application, you would find them every day in your life. Here's a test. Here's an obstacle. Here's a problem. Here's a thing I can't deal with. Here's a thing that my weakness has proved to me I'm not able to handle over and over and over again. And also beyond that, I find my heart not really able to handle these things, for I am much like they are. Are we like Israel? Oh, yes. But here again is the point. To whom came the promise? to Israel, to these people. Here's a promise for you. Here's a promise that you can take. Here's a promise when you have to say, I'm in my weakest point. Here's a promise you can take when you say, I'm perhaps at my worst, or when things that are against me stand to be the worst that they possibly can be. Here is a promise for you. A promise that you can have and hold. A promise to take, indeed, for every obstacle that you would face. Indeed, a promise, as I said before, to walk through water with. May the Lord indeed give us grace that we be a people who by faith are willing to trust in what the Lord says and to be obedient and go forward looking for Him to do as He says He will do, and looking for the presence of the Lord indeed, which is our strength. Amen. May God bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake, and be pleased to apply it to us over and again by the Spirit of God. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee again for Thy Word. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou dost use Thy Word to strengthen our faith and to cause us to see the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray now that Thou wilt apply Thy Word to our hearts and cause us to be able to rest not in who and what we are, but who our God is and the power that exists in His promises. Lord, bless Thy Word now to our hearts and cause it to be the source of our strength, even as we go from this place. And now, O God, I pray that Thou wilt keep these who are Thy people. I pray that Thy hand would rest upon them, that Thy Spirit would do His blessed work of showing the Lord Jesus to them throughout the days of this week. Preserve them from evil is our prayer. O God, we pray that Thou wilt walk with those who are Thine own and cause the joy of the Lord to be their portion. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing, Lord. Go with us from this place. Abide with us is our plea, for Jesus' sake. Amen.